Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Mabels, aka Jay Mapes, here with my bro. As always, Kings, what is going on, my guy?
I'm chilling, man. Doing some good games this weekend. We have some great series going on.
Yeah, I was down there in SoCal in Long Beach for the weekend. I actually met Ricky G, bro.
He pulled up. Shout out Coach G.
Yeah, he's actually a cool dude. So I just wanted to let you know, that was actually kind of dope. He pulled up to the game for me, man. Respect to Ricky G, even though we don't agree on almost anything, but respect. Anyway, let's get to this playoff hoops. Let's start with the shocker. Not the shocker to me or you, Will. To you, you said seven. Then you moved off. I said five. Celtics going 3-0 on the Nets. Man, I said this. I even picked Celtics in five, and I didn't see this level of going out sadness from the Brooklyn Nets. The post-game pressers were a little disheartening to hear. They had already pretty much punted Kyrie and Kev, talking about the size, and Kyrie talking about they didn't have time to gel. Just a lot of stuff. I think you actually mentioned after game two, you didn't like the stuff that they were saying, and it just kind of doubled down on that. So what did you see in that game three and in the series that's kind of, you know, killing the Nets? Because honestly, all three games have been close. That's the crazy part. They just can't close a game. So what are you seeing from them?
Fatigue, bro. Legs is killed. Katie legs is gone. It's he's not pressing with his shot. I mean, 11 shots last game. What does that tell you? He don't want to get shots up. He's tired. He has to defend because they're lacking wings. That's something a lot of Nets fans was concerned about with the lack of wings. You know, KD would have to exert more energy on defense. They don't have shot creators for KD, so he has to be a shot creator as well. I mean, in a way, I wouldn't say this. It's even like he had to do like a Bron role in Cleveland, because I'd say at least with the Cavs, they had enough wing defenders to at least put Bron off ball, and he kind of roamed defensively. But in terms of offensively, he's definitely been forced to take the do-it-all mode, and it's not easy. It's not easy to be able to create for everybody, to be able to put pressure on the rim, and to be able to hit your jumpers and just do it all. You know what I mean? It's basically you have to do whatever it takes to win the game, and people. You know, there's a reason why. I mean, it's reactionary because the caring logic has ruined a lot of discourse, because you shouldn't be faulted for playing on good teams.
Right.
You shouldn't be faulted to be able for playing in a system and enhancing your other players. But at the same time, when you had a disadvantage, you're a deficiency, and, you know, people are saying that you're the best in the world. You know, if folks want to see that. You know what I mean? Folks want to see that because, you know, when the guys who we used to say were the best, the clear-cut best in the world, you know, you had MJ, you had Kobe, you had Bron, when the backs were against the wall, when they had to find a way to win, they did whatever it took. And you saw that night in, night out in the playoffs. You know what I mean? You saw it in every single round. So it's tough, man, because a lot on KD's plate, and I don't really blame him. Because, you know, I have my own ranking of KD, so I'm not going to try and be prisoner of the moment with the all-time stuff. But for people who didn't, you know, for people who saw him in a higher light or had him, you know, in a higher position, I mean, it's a shocker to them. I mean, it still shocks me, but it's even more of a shock to them because it's like, wow, he's really just getting locked. He's tired, and he doesn't have the type of greatness that they thought he had. But with that said, also disappointing with Yo-Yo Man. You know, I was ready to buy in this year, you know, because I always had my reservations about him. You know, I always used to tell you, but I don't think, you know, I love his game. I love that he's fun. But as I always used to tell people, slow down how he is as a player, because he has a lot of deficiencies that player-wise that show up when the defenses start scheming. They start throwing the exotic looks. Then you start seeing what happens when that handle can't create, you know, advantages no more. And you're seeing it again this series, man. Like, yeah, he has to show up.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, people made fun of Marcus Smart for wearing that Defensive Player of the Year belt or whatever in game one, but he's backed it up. He got Kyrie fighting for his life, man. I've never quite seen – they're throwing a lot of traps at Kyrie throughout the season, but it's a lot of one-on-one with just him and Smart.
A lot of one-on-one.
Living with the results. So I got to give Marcus Smart his props. That Defensive Player of the Year is well-earned. I think he was your actual pick, right?
Yeah, he's actually a pick,
so it's well earned. So I got to give Smart his credit there. The thing with KD for me, like to your point,
yeah,
he's never been a high turnover guy. That's like the wildest thing for me. He's always taking care of the ball, and he's averaging 6 turnovers a game in this series. And that's like just giving away 6 possessions a game in a playoff game. You know, that kills you. They're only losing by, you know, 4 or 5 points a game. Those 6 turnovers are killer. On the other end, I think we both talked about how predictable the Nets offense has become over this season. And you can have a lack of talent or whatever, but I don't think that putting KD and Kyrie in the same place every possession, you know, is prudent against a defense as elite as the Celtics. Like, Udoka is just going to have them prepare for that every time. And you're just depending on, you know, Kyrie and KD to make tough shots. And the Celtics are just like, okay, hey, we'll live with that. We know on the other end, the Nets can't guard the Celtics. So that's making it even rough. So you think it's a sweep, or do you think Brooklyn has some heart and gets one?
It looks like they're mentally defeated. So, you know, this looks like a sweep just from the mental, talking points that you get from, you know, Drummond, Kyrie, KD. Just how you saw them in the shooting rounds during the practice sessions after this loss, just with the news with Ben Simmons. Just looks like they're just ready to pack it up and go home, honestly. Like, they don't see themselves winning this series. And I think in their minds, you know, get the loss out the way early and just go to a long offseason and try revamp for next season. I think that's what's on their minds at this point. Man, Boston. Shocker. I mean, I felt they were going to wear them down. I knew Boston was going to win this series. I knew they were going to wear them down and they had the better top to bottom roster. I didn't think they were going to break the Nets. I didn't think they would break the Nets. I thought they would beat the Nets. I didn't think they would break the Nets. That shocked me. Yeah, man. The legacy talks will be fun because you already know what people have to think about. I've been waiting for it with KD. And then with Kyrie too, because that playoff resume without LeBron, man, it's not the best. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's gonna be a lot of conversation in the off season, and a lot of fan bases will be vindicated if the Nets get swept.
All right, let's leave that there and see what happens. Game 4 obviously is tomorrow. We'll see if the Nets have a last stand or the Celtics are moving on. Moving forward to your boys now. Got to give them credit. Responded after a beatdown in game 3 to take 119-118. Cat responded in a big way from the game 3 dud, 33 points, 14 rebounds. Edwards, efficient, 24-7-14. McLaughlin off the bench, 16-4-4 from 3. Timberwolves, man, 18-36 from 3. And more importantly, what I want to get your take on, another rough shooting night for John Morant.
Yep, not shocker. Not right. shocking at all.
For the series, he's averaging 21, 11, and 8 on 40% shooting, 27% from three, and 73% from the line. That is down from 27 on 50% shooting in the season. So they've got him playing super inefficient basketball. How do you think they're defending him? Like, what are they doing to make it rough for him?
It's simple. I mean, when he drives, man, we're sending the help. I mean, it's costing us because we're giving up those corners. That's why you're seeing Bane and Brooks go off from three. And if you notice Jai, you know, you credit to him, even though he's not scoring well, he's doing a good job facilitating and getting his assist numbers up, trying to find the open man. Well, we're basically daring him to get it in the in-between game, bro. You know what I mean? We're not gonna give him in rhythm threes like that. We're gonna force funnel him into our help, and we're gonna say you either have to make the read or you gotta beat us in between. We're not gonna let you get an easy layup. We're not gonna let you get wide open looks from three. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna get in you, make you drive into our help, make you make a quick read, or make you beat us in the mid range. But that's the only spot we're gonna leave you open. Like, if you notice, Ja, when he gets his guy, the mid range is open all day. He can shoot that. He can shoot that if he wants to, yeah. But he's not confident enough in taking that. We know that. Coaching knows that. So we're gonna keep.
I'm gonna let you keep going. To that point you just made before you keep going, he has not made a two pointer outside the key this series. Looking right now, has not made a two pointer outside the key. Also, before I let you keep going, Ja, 71% at the rim in the regular season, 48% at the rim in the playoffs. 23% drop off. So keep going.
That's the game plan. I'm telling you, that's the game plan. We are not gonna let this dude get easy layups. We're not gonna let him get wide open looks. We're gonna only open shot he's gonna get is a mid-range jumper. That's the only open shot he's gonna get. And until he hits that consistently, he can just kiss the open layups goodbye. You're not seeing that at all this series. Don't let that happen. You're going to have to either beat us with your playmaking or you're going to have to beat us in the mid-range. That's just the bottom line with John. That's why you see him having a bad series. But credit to the Grizzlies, other guys, I mean, this is why they're the two seed. They're a very deep team. Bang, you know, as fake as the shooting looks to me, he's stepping up. Brooks stepping up. Clark has been whooping cat for most of the series and for a lot of the matchups that we've seen this year. So they have a great team to still be competitive. So that's why I knew this was going to go seven, because Memphis is deep. You know what I mean? But we're the better team, bro. And I said this
before. And if you look at
all first four games, bro, game one, 15-plus lead. Game three, 15-plus lead. Game four, again, 15-plus lead. Like, we're getting 15-plus leads in three of the four games, bro. Like, we are better than this team. But at the same time, we're still very young. You saw that in game three. But you see, and that's why I told people, and this is why I said this is going seven, because when you're young, yeah, you're prone to making bonehead mistakes like that, but you forget about that because you're young. You don't care. It's like, oh, okay, we messed up this game. We'll get them next time. We don't care because we're young. We're young and dumb. We don't know better. So, you know what I mean? We're not going to let those, missed runs get to us, because in our minds, like, oh, okay, we're so bad, we can get them anyway. It don't matter. Like, that's the type of confidence we have, because from Pat to Ant, and you see Cat trying to, make that part of his personality now. It's like, you know, we just feel like we're better than Memphis. That's just what it is. So this is going to be a dogfight, man, because I have us going up 3-2, but like I said, if we go up 3-2, I can easily see Memphis winning game six, and then it's do or die game seven. So it's going to go down to the wire this series, in my opinion.
Yeah, man, I agree with everything you said. I love Desmond Bane, man. I did not know, like, I vaguely paid attention to it. I didn't know he was the second best three-point shooter in the league behind Kennard. He gets a lot up, too. Like, he is a legit shooter. Like,
he can hit, man. I was mad. I was saying that's fake, but he can hit for real, man.
That man was second in the league in three-point percentage on extremely high volume. He was getting them up and knocking them down. Moving on, Dallas, Utah. Luka comes back. Actually had a decent fourth quarter. Tried to close him out, ironically. Utah wins on a lob from Donovan to Rudy after all the hoopla about the passes per game. Very well documented. I did not want to upset the Luka Hive on Twitter. I did have some observations. They still got mad just when I type observations. It's a very sensitive group.
They are a sensitive group. They got mad.
But listen, here's what I saw. First of all, before y'all get upset, I'm not saying Dallas is a better team without Luka. That would be asinine to say. Nobody says that. All I said was when he didn't play, the ball moved more and they were beating the Jazz better that way because they were spacing him out and it was penetrating kick. The thing is, we both mentioned how Rudy has become a much better switch defender. So when Luka is hunting that switch, it's not working as well. He did make a big shot, a couple big shots late. Over the course of the game, that's not as efficient as when they were moving the ball and attacking the space and having Rudy have to leave a shooter to get open shots for guys. That is all I was saying. Just the style of play, not whether they were better or they were worse. You can get mad at me all you want, but game total in game one, Mavericks score 110. Game two, Mavericks score 126. Luka comes back, they score 99. That's all. That's all. I mean, you can get mad if you want to, but the stats are the stats.
Look at the watch the film, bro.
Right, like, yeah.
I don't know what to say. And I asked the question because I didn't see the fourth. I went back to go watch some of it after I asked the question. Like, so Luka ball cost them, because I'm just thinking to myself, they were beating down the Jazz, bro. Like, the Jazz could not guard them at all, like, without Luka. And then Luka comes back. I kind of expected that. You know, I kind of expected them to, you know, get adjusted to his play style, because Luka has a play style that, you know, is not always if you're playing a certain way, it's a drastic shift when you insert someone like Luka into that because of his skill set and the talent he
has. Right, right.
The way he plays. So, you know what I mean? So that's why I asked the question. I'm like, yo, Luka ball cost him in the fourth, because some people were saying that. Some people were saying it was costing him all game. You know, some people were saying that it was affecting the rhythm. And when I went back and I saw something, I'm like, yeah, I can see why people were saying that. Because, like you said, when you're attacking space where you're making a guy like Rudy have to cover more ground, it wears him out. You're going to get much better three-point looks than when you're slowing it down. You're having a simpler switch, and you already know what that – it's a simpler action. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a simpler action because you're basically saying, Luka, you have to create the advantage. Whereas if you're driving a kick, passing around, it's like it's multiple guys getting the ball. It's multiple guys getting the rock and a lot more space to cover. So, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's like we said, it's not blaming Luka, because at the end of the day, because Jason Kidd has shown he can make Luka play off ball, he can make Luka play off Brunson and play off Spencer. But, you know, it was just one of those things where the guy came back, they had to take a game to get adjusted. Utah, you know, played great defense with the Mavs playing a little bit off on their game plan. And that's all it was, bro. Scheme matters, you know, the play style matters. All these things matter, bro. Like, at the end of the day, and this is why, you know, that this is why, like, group conversation on Twitter is just so cooked, bro. Like,
there's no nuance.
No nuance. People don't understand what they're watching, bro. Like, people don't even think coaching matter at all. People don't think these schemes matter at all. People don't think these game plans is just like, it's like if you say something about a player's weaknesses that may show up and affect a game, like, people now think that you're indicting the whole player. Like,
right.
Like, I mean, like, bro, it's okay to say this person plays a certain way that can be exploited in certain circumstances, bro. That's how hoop is, bro. Everybody has, you know, certain tendencies that can be used against them, bro. You've seen it with all the all-time greats, from Jordan to Bron to Kobe to Shaq, everybody, bro. Everybody has had that. I don't know why people get so sensitive over stuff like this, bro. Like, learn the game. That's all I have to say, bro. Like, people are really just annoying with who talk on social media at this point.
Right. Yeah, man. I think it was, you know, those are very fair. It wasn't even criticisms. It was a question. Like, what's different now that he came back? So that's definitely.
Yeah, real talk. I had to go back and see it, because like I came. I said, oh, they lost. Like, what happened? Because like they were cooking them, and I said this. So, and I saw them talk about Luka. So I was like, Luka ball cost him the fourth. Like, I get it. Some people pose the questions, engagement, but I was really asking, because honestly, it was a shocker. So I hadn't tweeted all day, and I came back and I saw, I was like, what the hell going on here? Like,
yeah. Man. There's one more series that's 2-2. The New Orleans Pelicans have a big second half, tie it up 2-2 with the Phoenix Suns. Ingram was huge. 14, 16 point third quarter, finishes with 30, 5-4, 11 of 23. Jonas, after being thrown in the washing machine by Aiden's response. Strong with a 26-15 game. McCollum added 18 with 9 boards. Herb Jones was special defensively. Alvarado was well, making Chris Paul's life hell, kind of wearing him down. On the Suns' end, Aiden was big, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 11-14 shooting. JaVale McGee, 7-7, 14-4. But the story here, outside of what the Pelicans did, is obviously Chris Paul, 2-for-8 with 4 points, 3 turnovers, did have 11 assists and 2 steals. But just obviously, I think people give Charles Barkley a lot of flack, but a point he made after game 2, and I put this out there, is that when he got to a certain age, it became harder to replicate, you know, extraordinary performances, you know, game after game. Like, he would have a great game, he'd feel sore, be hard to get up and produce the same, you know, put the same type of production on the table. And that's kind of tracking with Chris Paul. You know, great game 1, off game 2, great game 3, off game 4. I saw they still get the one day off. I thought they would have 2 days off to travel. They do not. The game is actually Tuesday. In Tuesday in Phoenix, back at home. Pelicans did win game 3 there, but it's 2-2. Suns did win game 3, get the home court back. Just what do you think about this series in general? And then more so, what do you see from the Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul?
Dog fight. Yeah. War.
Yeah.
That's all we see, man. That's all it's been, man. Like, it's Alvarado. That guy, he's gonna be a fan favorite, man. All hustle, all energy, moxie. He got it all. Herb Jones is the truth. That guy is the truth. I'm gonna enjoy watching him and his career, man. That man is the truth. Great guy, great attitude. You know, you saw CP3 do his antics. Herb Jones didn't even want he didn't even want to even acknowledge CP3. He said, "Nah," he said, "Get out of here, man. We ready to win." And, ooh, man, you know, B.I., he just keeps growing. It's kind of been that way since he left the Lakers. It's just handle my business, get better every year, try and add something to my game. He just keeps getting better. CJ over there is you know, feeling a little revitalized playing with all this youth around him. You know what I mean? And being the veteran presence, and he gets to get his game off, you know, playing off of others offensively and defensively. This is a fun team, bro. And when Zion comes back, man.
Dude.
My God. I already hear people talk about, oh, too much mouth. Ain't no too much mouths to feed. Nothing, bro.
No, damn.
No. Ain't no too much mouths to feed. Nothing. It's CJ and B.I. right now. Everybody plays off them. When Zion comes back, that team is going to be a very, very, very big problem. It's going to be a big problem for a lot of guys to figure out. The only issue they would have is making sure Zion defensively can guard something. That's the main issue. Like, you get Zion to guard somebody, or JV develops into a Brook Lopez type of rim protector, because he can shoot the 3 now. He got the offensive complementary play style with Zion. So now he just needs to add that, you know, better rim protection presence, you know, to his game, so he can kind of help Zion defensively. But, man, their offense is going to be extremely good when Zion comes back. They're going to be a top 5 offense minimum, in my opinion. Them and the Clippers, I'm looking forward to watching them next – both those teams next year. I think they might be in Western Conference Finals, honestly, low-key, depending on what the Lakers do. But,
I'm not there yet.
I know you're not there yet, but I'm just saying, I'm looking at the landscape.
I hear you.
I wouldn't be shocked to see that, but I got Clippers in my favorite. I think the Pelicans will be a good dark horse team. But, you know, as far as the Suns go, like I told you, the only way they was going to win is if Aiden dominated the last game in the first half and set the tone and what happened. They won this game. He was kind of more, you know, took them a little bit more to get going, and they weren't as good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'll say he had a great first quarter. He was 5-for-6 with 10, and then JV finally started pushing back. He started attacking him more and then pushing him more on the glass and kind of even that matchup. And like you said, if they were going to be dominant at the center position, it was going to be a dogfight, and it was, because that's the one position they probably, without Book, you know, that's the, like, Aiden's better than JV, so they got to win that without Book. And yeah, now it's a dogfight, yeah.
It was just for me, you know, when I caught the game, like, I saw Kyle when he went through that stretch where JV was just whooping. So that's when I had hopped in. So it was a stretch where he just wasn't dominant, because like for the game before, you know, the whole first half, he was working him. You know what I mean? He was working him. It looked like he was on his way to 60 at some point. You know what I mean? By the time the third quarter rolled around, but this game, it was more, you know, he, like you said, he had a good first quarter, but you know, after that, you know, JV started winning that battle, slowed it down. And then when that slowed down, what could they do? So, I mean, remember how I told you Aiden had to get 25 for them to beat a team like the Warriors? Well, he might have to do 30 plus if they're trying to put away this Pelicans team comfortably, because it's like CP3 not going to be able to do it every single game. He's too old. So one of these young stars is going to have to come out and do every single game, and it got to be Aiden. He wants the max. So he got to play like he's the max player. He's a max star and go finish this off. So, you know, it's – like I always told people, the Suns' title chances is on Aiden, bro. Yeah. It's going to be on how good Aiton is. Because if Aiton is that elite presence, they can't lose. Like, that's just the bottom line. They can't lose if Aiton is that elite presence. But if he's not, you know what I mean? If he's going to be able – if he's going to lose matchups in certain games, like, then they're vulnerable. And that's what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, I just think – and then – even more so without Book, man, it's affecting other guys' shot quality and output. Like Crowder's only able to get, you know, three threes up. You just, we always talking about guys that are able to compromise the defense off the dribble. They just really don't have that without Book. You know, Chris Paul's more screen dependent at this age, which is expected. He's still a great player. He just more so gets off the pick and roll. Campaign very quick, but for some reason just can't make a jump shot this season. They're just going under on everything. And letting him shoot 0-for-5 from 3 tonight, you know, 3-for-10 for the 3-for-10 in general. It's the dog fight. So, real quick, I didn't ask you. Give me your prediction in the Dallas series, Dallas Utah series, which is also 2-2. Then we'll come back to this one. So, in your Dallas Utah, who do you got in that one?
It should be Dallas in I think Dallas in 6 games.
Okay, and then for this one, going to
go to win the next two. I think Luka coming back, that was the rest game, and then to adjust him being back, I think JK will go back to the form, you know, the formula he's had all year. They haven't really been doing, you know, that excessive heliocentric ball all year. So I expect them to just go back to how they've been playing all season, and they should win the next two. Right. And in regards to, you said, the Pelicans and
this one going seven.
This one's going seven. In my opinion, but I think the Suns will pull it out at home. I think CP3 will conserve his energy for the two home games, and I think those are the two games they will win. I won't be shocked if we do get the special guest appearance from the referee standpoint. Scott Foster, Tony Brothers. I do believe they will be making their appearances.
Well, you know, if you're a Suns fan, you not want to see Scott Foster.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. You know, Scott Foster will be making his appearance possibly in game 6, I believe. And Tony Brothers will be making his appearances in the key games to get the Suns over the hump. I think they'll probably save him for game 7. But, you know, I think this will be one of those series where the refs will play a big role in the extension and the winner. But ultimately, I think they will favor the Suns in this particular manner. But I got the Suns in 7, and then the other one is Wolves and the Grizzlies. I obviously picked up the Wolves in 7. So, and then Warriors should finish this off, you know, in game 5. That should be over with.
Yeah, I did. We haven't talked about the series that are all 3-1. If you want to chime in, go ahead. But I don't feel that any team that's down 3-1 is going to make a serious push in either series. Like even the Warrior game, Steph misses 4 free throws. You know, Bones Highland, a couple guys go for 20.
And they still could have almost won at
that. That's what I'm saying. So just I don't see – do you see any of those series out of 3-1? You know, Bucks dominated the Bulls again. Heat dominated the Hawks again. And, The Raptors scrounged one up on Saturday. What a tough one.
Even with Embiid hurt, they still
Right. So do you see any of those series being pushed at all?
Nah. Especially with Ty Thibault coming back too for the Sixers when they go back home.
That's how crazy would that be if, you know, KD and Kyrie were the only guys to get swept in the playoffs?
I'm telling you, the discussions is going to be very, very bad. It's going to be very, very bad.
Man. Let's talk East. It's a couple things I want to put on the table here that I'm thinking about. So, obviously, with the way they're handling the Nets, the Celtics have been pushed to the betting favorite for the Eastern Conference, the second best title odds behind the Warriors with the updated Vegas odds. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Like that now, that's the championship matchup on the Vegas play. So do you agree with that?
I mean, it makes sense because, you know, Middleton's gone.
Yeah.
The Celtics are dominating a contender. And obviously you have the Warriors who they have the championship pedigree. They look great in the West right now, dominating the MVP's team. And you know, you've seen them do it before multiple times with that core. So yeah, I think the Vegas betting odds is fine. But I think we'll be witnessing an all-timer's time in this moment in time. Mr. Antetokounmpo.
Yes. Antetokounmpo.
I mean, he's gonna show everybody when it comes to this all-time rankings, you need to put his name up there. Because they lost Middleton and they lost a game where everybody was saying, uh-oh, the Bulls might got him in the ropes. And he said, hell nah.
Those next two games been ugly.
Him and Grayson Allen and Bobby Portis said, hell nah. You know what I mean? And they smacking him. And honestly, even without Middleton, I give him a good chance to muddy that Celtics series up because it's just his play style, his motor, bro. He's going to go 100. He's going to pressure that Celtics interior. He's going to make those guys defend him inside. He will make the right reads off the walls. And, you know, they got shooters, man. Grayson can shoot.
He's more polished now, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's more polished, too. So even if you break that wall, he's going to hit those foot counters, his fadeaway. And, hey, you know, I was talking about somebody with this, one of my mutuals, but shout out to Coach Bud, man. And talk about I did not see this coming at all. Giannis, Portis, and Brook Lopez. Wow. He saw what the Cavs did. He said, why not us? We got the guys on the roster.
He's probably more comfortable with that anyway, to be honest.
No, real talk. And he was like, he probably loved that lineup in his mind because he loved that size and that space. Hey, man, what a hell of a lineup. Everybody talks about how physical and long Boston is. They don't have that advantage when they play the Bucks at all. And right. The thing with the Bucks, offensively, they will not lose any type of spacing because both Bobby and Brook can shoot. That's going to be an all-out war type of series. And I think it's going to come down to who star is ready to stamp his name, you know, and solidify his name as, you know, I'm the best player in the world. And I think we got to go with the champ. That's just me. Right.
So, and I agree with that to a point. Also, I want to add that the games that Middleton missed this year, Grayson Allen's averaging 18 points a game on very high efficiency. And Chris Middleton missed a good amount of games. So it's not just a small sample size. Right. So I think Grayson Allen's ready to step up. He's a shooter. They will miss Middleton's late clock shot creation.
Absolutely.
In the playoff series, that definitely will be missed. But I agree with you. I think Giannis is the best in the world. And he's ready to show it, man. But that Celtics defense is no joke. I will say that. Nope. I'm probably going to ride with the defending champ. Also, I want to ask you, I know the Hawks aren't great. Probably if I would have to pick, probably the worst playoff team in the field, if I had to conjecture, like, would you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard. But are we sleeping on the Heat? And I feel like, I mean, you know, aside from just the opponent, Jimmy looks the best he's looked physically in a couple of years. And I think that's what's making me, okay, maybe they can do something. I'm a little worried about Kyle Lowry's hamstring, had to sit tonight. But are we sleeping on the Heat? I mean, they are the one seed. You just don't really hear. There's a lot of Boston, a lot of the Bucks, rightfully so, because they're defending champs, and they opted to, you know, play the health card rather than go for the number one seed card. So are we sleeping on the Miami Heat, do you think, just a, even just a little bit?
No, I mean, not. And most people aren't, because, like I keep saying, their second-best scorer, argue their best scorer, Tyler Hero. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, if that's the case, I'm sorry. But that's not going to move a lot of people.
Okay.
It's just not going to move a lot of people. But I would say this, that defense is proof. Boy, they can guard. They got the shooters. And they got coaching. So they're going to be elite. And I guess we'll find out what they are in the next series. Because, you know, that Sixers and Heat series is going to be I think, like Paul had a good point, all the talking points for the Raptors that people said that would make the Raptors win six, I think they actually applied to the Heat in that series. So I think that will actually be a very tough series for the Sixers. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Heat won and went to the ECF. I'm picking the Sixers to win that one. But obviously with Joel's injuries, the type of scheme that the Heat run, and how Harden still, he's still, looking whatever. I wouldn't be shocked if the Heat got to the ECF. And, the Heat, I will say this for the Miami fans, they're comfortable playing either Boston or Milwaukee, because they've beaten both of them. So in this past 2 year stretch since 2020, they played both and they've beaten both in the playoff series. You know what I mean? So they're ready for either or. So if you're a Miami fan, you're thinking, why not us? And I respect that, but I just think the offensive deficiency is just too much compared to these other teams. That's my thinking.
Yeah, and I just was watching today, Trae Young. He's hunting switches, but you're switching off PJ to Jimmy, and then you get the big, then it's bam.
What switch are you hunting, bro?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. So it's like I pictured that same thing for Harden, who has, a lot less wiggle than Trae at this point in his career. I agree with you, man. You said the same talking points for the Raptors actually are much more practically applicable to this series than they were, because Miami just has a better team top to bottom. So I definitely agree.
And they got an actual elite defensive big who they can put on and be one-on-one. That's a big key factor here. So Harden has the ball.
He will have to produce in that series. So, yeah, absolutely correct, 100%. Make sure you follow @SKingsBruh on Twitter, myself, JJMaples55_MST. Keep subscribing and following the pod. Leave us feedback. We definitely appreciate it. Also, we will be back Wednesday live breaking down the playoff games. A couple game fives will have happened by then. Some series will be on the line. I cannot wait to break those down with Kings live and have you guys come up and ask us questions on Spotify live. Can't wait for that. You guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace, y'all.